Hello, everyone, and welcome again to another episode of M365 Voice. My name is Mike Marani.
I'm Sarah Hasse.
And I'm Antonio Maya.
And we are here at the M365 conference in Orlando. Very excited to be here. Very excited to connect with other people, learn from the experts.
Right. And it's all three of us in one place, yes. Not three videos, one video. Yeah. And it's like we got to do this to make the magic actually happen. Like they're real.
Yeah.
They're real. In person.
Yeah. Loving it. It's always fun to be with you. Mm-hmm. So we did one co-pilot.
We did.
And we're going to talk more.
That's right. Episode number two in our series.
The co-pilot series.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I'm going to see a lot of people coming out from the background. Yeah. All good. That makes it more fun.
Yeah.
And you never know when we're going to have a surprise guest on this podcast, because it could be anyone who will surprise us by walking up behind us. And do anything on camera. So wait for that.
As a fact, there is a meeting happening in front of us about Teams Premium and Copilot. So they might jump in.
You never know what happens. So what are we talking about on this Copilot episode?
Let's go to the basics. We talked about, you know, the responsible AI and code of conduct last time. Mm-hmm. What about just getting into a little bit of details more onto the Copilot?
Okay.
Start comparing the different kinds of Copilot.
I think so.
It's so confusing for a lot of people, because I think that Copilot is the theme word, right? It's Copilots abound everywhere. Mm-hmm. But how do we differentiate what all the different Copilots are?
Yeah.
What they cost?
Yeah.
Are they free? Are they more money, a little or a lot more money? We're going to break that down today.
Well, and even like Jeff Tepper's keynote yesterday was called "The Age of Copilots." The mess on the end. I think it highlights your point that there's just a lot of them. There are a lot of copilots.
And this is not good. This is the beginning. It's going to be more copilots.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So what are we going to show?
We're going to show this presentation here that basically will give you a little bit of context of what we're talking about here. Yep. Okay. Yes. So what we have is three different pillars here when it comes to some of the Copilots: the free one, the Copilot Pro, and the Copilot for M365. A few capabilities, so let's go through them.
So first of all, I like across the top you've got for individuals and then for organizations. I think that's important, because I do know organizations that actually use the Copilot Pro, in fact, even though it says for individuals there, you can use that for organizations.
Well, and that's an important distinction, because it isn't Copilot for organizations, I think, means enterprise license customers, but you still can purchase and apply Copilot license if you're an enterprise customer by individual.
Right.
So versus the first two, Copilot Free and Copilot Pro, don't tie into enterprise licensing. Those are just individual users. So they're everything gets a little muddy in the detail, right?
And there were used to be called Bing Chat. Mm-hmm. Was Copilot Free.
Correct.
And Big Chat Enterprise was a Copilot Pro.
Exactly.
So a little bit of rebranding, renaming there.
Yeah, so everything is Copilot, but it depends on where you use it and how you use it. And then you get into different capabilities and different functionalities and offerings, plus the price will change.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go. You want to go through the list? Maybe it's best to go from top to bottom.
Yeah.
Foundational capabilities. So I guess whether you are on the free version, the Pro, or the for Microsoft 365 for organizations, you're going to get the same foundational capabilities in terms of how it actually works.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No difference there.
You're accessing large language models.
Exactly.
Right.
So the large language model will be there. We're going to talk a little bit details about what's the security around it and the training aspect of it. But yes, you get the LLM regardless what Copilot you have.
Which tier.
That's the one I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And with the web grounding.
Okay, so web grounding. So if you're using Copilot Free, you're accessing basically copilot.microsoft.com. You go onto the website, you're accessing it there. If you use the Edge browser, you have the option of doing it in a panel beside your browser tab. Copilot Pro, you're doing the same thing. You're actually copilot.microsoft.com in the browser. And then Copilot for organizations, or Copilot for M365, you're accessing it in a few different experiences. across all of those, Copilot is able to access the internet, so the Bing search index. Mm-hmm. And you can turn that on or off. There's various controls for that. Web grounding means those Copilots decide if they need to go out to the internet, the Bing search index, to get additional information, to ground the LLM so that it understands more about the use case you're trying to use it for, and therefore bring back a more relevant response.
Okay.
Yeah. Key point being, it decides if it has to go to the internet for more info or not.
Okay.
Do we want to explain what grounding means for some?
We can, yes. You want me to do that?
Sure, sure. Since you started with
that. So it's interesting. You hear a lot of talk around grounding your prompts.
Yeah.
I don't think of it that way. When you think of the large language models, they're trained on large, very large data sets, billions of parameters.
Mm-hmm.
And they are trained for many, many different use cases, not your particular use case.
Right.
So the idea behind grounding is once you've entered a prompt, to find additional information related to what you've entered in the prompt and supplement your prompt with that, so that you're grounding the large language model in your particular use case. And therefore, you're more likely to get a relevant response back. So I think of it as grounding the large language model. But you hear the language, correct. You know, you hear the terminology grounding your prompts.
Pretty much, it's personalizing the information sent and received from LLMs.
Yeah.
And that's available across all three. And then same thing from the commercial data protection, it is available across all mm-hmm. three tiers.
Correct. Commercial data protection being Microsoft meets its commitments for data protection and privacy, right? They're not going to use your prompts
or data information. Saved in your tenant, correct. Even if you're an individual user in an enterprise, they're not going to use your data. They're not going to take key learnings for the LLM from your data.
Correct.
Your data does not teach the LLMs.
That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then this is when we start. This is the free version. It stops there. You don't get anything more
right.
Outside of that. So, and then we get into the priority model
mm-hmm.
access, that you get it with the Pro and you get it with the 365. Mm-hmm. And basically, think about it, that there are thousands, hundreds of thousands or millions of mm-hmm. requests coming into this large language model. And at the end, it has to process them. It is going to prioritize mm-hmm. your model access based if you are paying for it or not. So if you're not paying
peak
for it,
flow rates,
yes,
during peak usage periods, mm-hmm. you're going to be in the back of the bus.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. So if you are the free one, you still have access to it, but mm-hmm. exactly, you are at the back of the bus. And then if you're paying for it, you're going to be at the first one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's different versions of the LLMs.
Yeah.
Right. GPT-4 is one of the more recent ones. GPT-4 Turbo, more recent one. I think GPT-4 Turbo is trained on data up till April 2023.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they're going to prioritize your access. So it could be
not just prioritizing basically your Copilot queries,
correct.
But the LLMs that you're accessing may be more updated.
That's correct.
If you are on a pay model, it might be using not antiquated, but an older data set.
Older data, exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
So more relevant data.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So if you're using Copilot Free, for example, and you ask it something that happened in, I don't know, January of 2023, and it's a peak time and you're not getting access to the latest large language model, it may not know about
right.
that event or that thing because the previous versions were trained on an older data set.
Always an important thing to keep in mind in what I call the Wikipedia challenge, right? There are a lot of people using Copilot for free in the same way that people use Wikipedia for work, for school. And just keep in mind that just because Copilot serves it up, just like Wikipedia has things, does that necessarily relate to accuracy factually? So keep that in mind.
There was one interesting point I learned here at the conference. So in workshop I was given on Monday, one of the audience members brought up this interesting fact I didn't know. If you are using the later large language model, so let's say GPT-4 Turbo, that does not work with web grounding.
Okay.
So the Bing search index does not work with that latest version of the large language model. So even if you turn on, access the internet,
mm-hmm.
It's not going to do that because that later large language model is not for the Bing search index yet.
That's interesting.
That's a very good point, actually. I never thought about that, but yes, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we go into the productivity apps, Copilot and Outlook, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and OneNote.
Yeah.
And that's only available with the Pro and only available with the M365 Copilot as well. So right. If you want to do create a new document, create a PowerPoint presentation, some formulas in Excel, or you know, get a head start with OneNote, or create a new email.
You're going to pay for it.
You're going to have to pay for it. That's right. It's pretty cool. I love the one thing, Outlook.
Outlook?
It's good. I haven't used it in real life yet. Actually, I used it once.
Okay.
Because I...
In real life.
In fantasy land, I used it, but in real life, you used it once. It works. Sometimes I'm like, okay, well, if I'm going to just draft a couple of lines, I'm just going to use...
The real world utilization in your Outlook was, I have no hope of ever finding what I'm looking for, and I have the meaning of life in my inbox. Copilot, please tell me the meaning of life.
Yeah, I'm going to wait one day that Copilot is going to tell me you have way too many... In your inbox, that
you have
when Copilot gives up on Mike's inbox, just think about the fact that that means Sarah wins.
Copilot to the rescue.
You could ask Copilot to organize your inbox.
I don't want to do that.
Copilot would give up. That there are certain things it cannot do. Now, one important thing to note, because I think we've talked about this before when we haven't been recording, but when you talk about Copilot and Outlook, Word, PowerPoint, Excel, and OneNote, it isn't necessarily you can use Copilots in those apps individually. It isn't a look at an email and tell Copilot while you're in Outlook to go create a PowerPoint presentation based on that email, correct?
Correct. Exactly. It's not, you're going to have to.
That's more of a Copilot for Microsoft 365 feature.
True. Yes, but it's true.
Okay.
I have not used the Copilot for Outlook yet because it has required upgrading to the new version of Outlook, the new Outlook experience, which I dislike, to put it nicely. So I'm still in the older Outlook experience. However, I heard here as well that apparently that's no longer. So I have to go investigate that.
It can give you a summary. It will you work with the classic Outlook?
Yeah.
But it does not give you all the experience. It does not draft, for example, an email for you.
Gotcha.
Okay. It is there. It might summarize it for you. It cannot coach you. It can coach you. It cannot draft.
Okay. That's a good distinction.
Similar feedback that I dislike the new Outlook experience.
I have it turned off as well. I don't. Yeah.
It would come along eventually.
We're classics.
Yeah, we are.
We're
classy.
Pretty classy.
Moving on, Copilot and Teams.
So this is my go-to experience. If I'm going to use Copilot, I'm going to start in Teams usually.
In Teams, and that is only available as part of Copilot for Microsoft 365. So Teams is a hardline differential. It's just not available for free, not available for Copilot Pro for individuals. You've got to have an enterprise license, plus you pay extra for Copilot for Microsoft 365 and Teams.
And I love it in Teams. I've been using it a lot in Teams.
Mm-hmm.
It helped me a lot when I'm doing calls with clients and I'm taking notes and I'm talking. I scale back taking notes because of the Copilot, because I can go back and do a summary. I can give me the task list, what the task assigned to me.
As long as you've got transcription on.
As long as you have transcription on. If you don't have transcription on, then you can use it within the meeting, during the meeting, it will create this temporary transcription.
It just won't retain it.
It won't retain it.
And that's an important note because some organizations have transcription turned off for legal record hold or to reduce legal risk, in which case then you are really limited to what Copilot can do during the meeting.
Yeah.
Number one reason why I love Copilot in meeting. In a career where I've been on many emergency, critical situation bridges, with systems down, network is down, those calls can grow and shrink in terms of the population of who attends them. Someone joins the call and says, catch me up, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
And it happens all the time, right? Every 5 minutes, somebody new is joining the call and you have to stop everything in order to catch them up on the call. Copilot, absolute whiz, Copilot can catch you up on the call without disturbing the additional troubleshooting that's happening.
That's a really good use case.
I love that feature.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get into the graph grounding. It's a little bit different than the web grounding. Similar from an idea perspective. But basically, when you send a prompt, it goes into Graph. Graph has access to everything in your tenant. So it knows what kind of information it has to bring it back.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing the grounding with the graph that based on who you are, based on the contacts, the emails, the files that you have access to, it will take that and send it to LLM. So personalizations of your prompt into LLMs and it gets into the information.
How are
we doing, guys?
This is what happens when you're reporting live. You never know what's going to happen.
Exactly. That's right. That's right. Living dangerous.
That's all good. It's fun. I like
With the graph grounding, one thing I really like is it has access to all the data that you talked about and even the connections between contacts, right? So it knows who do you communicate with most often, and it can make it more relevant that way. That's a cool aspect of it.
Very cool. Then next one is the enterprise-grade data protection. That's Antonio's world.
Yes, so enterprise-grade data protection is all of the integration with Microsoft Purview data protection features. So for example, if you're using Copilot to generate a new document and it's using source documents that are labeled with sensitivity labels, the resulting document will inherit the sensitivity labels of the source document. So if you, let's say you're building a document out of two source documents, and those documents have two different each have a different label. It'll use the highest order label for the resulting document. So you've got one that's labeled internal, another place confidential, confidential being more sensitive, your resulting document will be labeled confidential automatically.
Right.
So that's one of the cool features in enterprise-grade data protection. Another one is auditing of your Copilot interactions, so you can actually go search the audit log for Copilot interactions. You can use eDiscovery to discover Copilot interactions, as well as the prompts and responses that people are using. So from a legal risk discovery perspective.
That's big, actually. I like that, because you can actually do an eDiscovery if you want to find out what people are trying to find information, right? So if I'm trying to say, oh, I have Copilot, I'm going to go and hunt for information, and I'm trying really hard, I'm repeating different prompts to get some files,
yes,
we can e-discover on that.
E-discovery is a great way to do that. And then there's another feature that falls into that camp as well, and that's communication compliance. So with communication compliance, you can set up policies that look either for sensitive data or for trainable classifiers that are looking for, and these are built-in ones, that are looking for fraud, confidential information, harassment, abuse, these types of topics, and then create alerts for your either your SOC analysts or your, you know, some compliance team to see so-and-so has been trying these types of prompts and let you go investigate that.
Yeah, that's big.
Which takes us back to the previous episode that we launched, which is your AI and your Copilot level of responsibility and your code of ethics inside your organization.
That's right.
And the episode that I want to record. The episode I've been pitching you about that we need to test Copilot using naughty words.
Oh, yes. Actually, we do need to do that. That'll be a fun one.
We're going to have to do a pre-recording episode and then try it out.
Sarah's going to lead that one.
100% I am, and I have a working title for it. I have a working title. We'll share it once we get to that episode. We're going to keep this one PG.
Yes. And then we have one more.
Yes.
I got him.
The customization of Copilot. So if you are with the Pro, you get the GPT Builder, and if you are with M365, you get the Copilot Studio. That will allow you to go and create your own plugins, your connectors, create your own models as well. That's pretty cool.
Copilot Studio is great for creating your own Copilot that's focused on a particular set of data that you feed it, or a particular set of documents, the site, the library. It's really easy to do that.
Exactly. It's really, really easy to do that. Studio, I've played around with it. It's not difficult.
So the one thing I think is going to be interesting, now that we've kind of really talked about what's part of the free, the Copilot Pro for individuals and Copilot for Microsoft 365, is how organizations are going to approach licensing for Copilot. Many organizations, I've seen a couple of different models where when they have enterprise level agreements for Microsoft 365, I've seen companies where all of the budget for those enterprise licenses comes out of one centralized budget, right? Yeah. I've also seen companies where they take the peanut butter it around methodology, meaning that everyone pays in a certain rate per employee that they pay to IT overhead, that it would include those licensing things. And what I think is going to be very interesting for Copilot for Microsoft 365 is that when you're adding in an additional Copilot fee on top of everything else, I think it lends itself to a possible model of having departments or individual cost centers pay for that, where Antonio may, as part of his role, get approval to get Copilot on top of his enterprise license. His department pays for that license for Copilot. Maybe I don't get approved for it, so I don't have Copilot, but Antonio does. I think it could lead to some of that, unless organizations are going to take the jump to license everyone or license a majority. How do you think companies are going to approach this from a licensing perspective? The few, the many licenses, or as much as you can get departments to pay for.
So I've seen organizations considering first what roles are going to best benefit from Copilot across the board and trying to identify those and focus first on those. So I have not yet seen or rarely seen we're gonna license everybody.
Agreed. I think, to your point, it would be based on the roles initially.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, it can get to the point where departmental, they're going to be licensed, and they're then going to cover the cost. Mm-hmm. And once others would see the benefits, it's going to start rolling out to more. So,
or they decide to buy in bundles. We're buying 500 seats for Copilot, and we're going to have someone is going to have a list, and you need to be on that list and prioritized, and they just shoot down the list as they
roll out over time.
Yeah,
in batches. Yeah.
And that's a wrap. Episode 2, Copilot intro to different Copilots. We tried to invite some, but they were not ready. But it's all good.
We almost had a special guest.
We almost had a special guest. If we paused, we could have gotten her to be a special guest.
Yeah. Next time. So we will be recording more. So stay tuned for more episodes about Copilot. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.
Bye.